In the next half-hour segment, we're going to be dealing with a fellow who has wielded a profound influence on world affairs in the 1980s and 90s. This is a fellow named Manzer El-Kassar, a weapons trafficker, a drug dealer extraordinaire, credited with the Drug Enforcement Administration with bringing 20% of the heroin into the United States, an individual who was placed on the White House payroll by Oliver North and Company, a key player in the Iran-Contra affair, as discussed in RFA 32, and as touched on again in RFA 35 and 38. There's also a good discussion of Manzer El-Kassar in a four-part interview with John Loftus, along with Mark Ahrens, the author of the vitally important recent book, The Secret War Against the Jews. In the next couple of half-hour segments, we're going to touch on Manzer El-Kassar and some of the many milieu that he has overlapped. Not all of the discussion in the next 2 half-hours is going to deal directly with Manzer El-Kassar, but we're going to begin with the many, many connections of Manzer El-Kassar, or some of the many connections of Manzer El-Kassar, and proceed outward to a discussion of some of the things attendant upon his many, many, many activities. Once again, as has been in the case, as has been the case so many times in the past, the landmark research of Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator, will be front and center, as has been the case in so much of the past discussion with Manzer El-Kassar, as well as many, many other issues. And once again, a tip of the hat to Dave White, an individual that we all owe a great debt of gratitude to for his heroic and selfless research. Dave researched and translated the following for us from Clarín. That's an Argentinian paper, and this comes from the issue of Clarín that was from July 19th of 1998. The headline is El-Kassar to Come to Argentina in August, and this appeared on page 14 of Clarín's 7-1998 edition. The first part of the discussion deals with allegations that Manzer El-Kassar may have been connected to a couple of key bombings that took place in Argentina, the bombing of the Israeli embassy in 1992 and of the AMIA Jewish Cultural Center in 1994, allegations that we have heard in the past and that we will be touching on again. The article reads in part, Syrian arms trafficker Manzer El-Kassar will return to Argentina sometime in the first 2 weeks of August in order to answer charges by former deputy Franco Caviglia, C-A-V-I-G-L-I-A, that he supplied the explosives used in the 1992 attack on the Israeli embassy. Caviglia has received a magazine account that circulated in 1995 about the construction of in Barcelona of 100 kilos of exogene, the explosive used to blow up the embassy. The Spanish magazine El Tiempo maintained that the material had been purchased from a Polish company owned by El-Kassar. In what the Newsweekly referred to as a triangulation, the explosives were sent from Spain to Syria and then from there to Argentina. And skipping ahead, more about some of the many arms deals that Manzer El-Kassar has been involved in to one extent or another. And again, Manzer El-Kassar has been a major player on the international stage in Europe, the Middle East, North and South America. And speaking of Alvarez, who is Manzer El-Kassar's lawyer, what Alvarez did not mention was that El-Kassar was authorized by the Argentine government for the proposed sale of 7 submarines, and that he acted as a middleman in the sale of Pucara aircraft to Sri Lanka. The Syrian had also visited Cordoba, where the planes were built for use by the Argentine military. Al-Kassar's visit could not happen at a more inopportune time. First, there was the detention in South Africa of the arms trafficker Diego Paleros, P-A-L-L-E-R-O-S, and then the arrest of Ibrahim al-Ibrahim, the ex-husband of Amira Yoma. Al-Kassar is currently resting at his summer home in Damascus. He communicates periodically with his lawyers and friends in Mendoza. By the way, we've dealt with Yomagate, one of the many scandals that Manzer El-Kassar had been involved in and that has besmirched the presidency of Carlos Menem in Argentina in the aforementioned archive show RFA 38, The Terror Connection, Part 3, one of many archive shows available from Spitfire that deal with Manzer El-Kassar. We're going to come back to Yomagate and Amira Yoma and some of the many Syrian-Argentine connections that figure in this milieu later on in the program. Research credit on the following also goes to Dave White, our pan-European researcher and translator, who got this also from Clarín. This, however, comes from Clarín's issue of June 21st of 1998, and this article, also from page 14 of that edition of Clarín, is headlined, Witness Against Al-Qassar Assassinated. This deals with the killing of a Syrian national named Mustafa Nasini. We touched briefly on this killing in a couple of half-hour segments done recently, updating a number of different stories. Once again, reading from Clarín of June 21st of 1998, we find, Mustafa Nasini, a Syrian national known for drug trafficking in Spain, was murdered yesterday by an unknown assailant. Nasini, shot in the head outside his Madrid home, had given a statement to the national court against Mansour Al-Qassar in 1995. At the time, Al-Qassar was accused of delivering arms to PLF terrorists for the October 1985 hijacking of the Italian cruise ship Achille Lauro. This latest episode recalls another strange death that also benefited Al-Qassar, the suicide of Ismail Jalil, who fell through the window of his fourth-floor apartment in Marbella on September 28th, 1992. By the way, the alleged suicide of Ismail Jalil, one of the key witnesses against Mansour Al-Qassar in his trial for the Achille Lauro hijacking, was discussed in RFA program number 38. Continuing. Jalil, according to court medical records, was rendered semi-conscious with alcohol minutes before his death. One witness, Abu Merched, M-E-R-C-H-E-D, adjusted his testimony, this, by the way, with regard to the Achille Lauro hijacking and the charges against Mansour, beginning again. One witness, Abu Merched, adjusted his testimony. Another, Ahmed Al-Assadi, did not want to testify. Finally, on March 22, 1995, the National Court acquitted Al-Qassar because of insufficient evidence. In passing sentence, the court described the statements of Abu Merched, the principal witness in the case against Al-Qassar, as, quote, improbable and contradictory, unquote. Curiously, Merched held an important post in the Al-Qassar organization. The name of Mustafa Nasini is familiar to Spanish magistrates and police as well. On December 16, 1994, 3 weeks before he was to testify at the Achille Lauro trial, both of Nasini's sons were kidnapped in retribution for his failing to pay back a debt owed to the Cali cartel. That also affected the nature of his testimony before that particular court. Skipping down in this particular article, more about Mansour Al-Qassar and the aforementioned Yomagate scandal. At the center of these suspicious occurrences is always Mansour Al-Qassar, who holds an important historical position in Argentina as well. In 1992, the Syrian arms trafficker obtained an Argentinian passport in record time for a foreign national. Amira Yoma even lent him a jacket for his passport photo. In fact, the former sister-in-law of President Menem spent a day at Al-Qassar's palace in Marbella together with fashion designer Elsa Serrano. Amira Yoma, again, the former sister-in-law of President Menem. Continuing, more recently, the Syrian admitted that he'd sold arms on behalf of the Argentine government. Al-Qassar's name returned to the headlines on May 20th following the suicide of telepostal entrepreneur Alfredo Yebrón. By the way, we've dealt with Yebrón in the past, and we're going to deal with the machinations of Alfredo Yebrón, who got filthy rich off of a number of different things, including allegedly drug trafficking, as well as the privatization of much of Argentina's governmental infrastructure. Returning again to Alfredo Yebrón and the Al-Qassar connection to same, Al-Qassar's name returned to the headlines on May 20th following the suicide of telepostal entrepreneur Alfredo Yebrón. Al-Qassar emphatically denied any link with Yebrón. However, he did admit a relationship with Elias Jassan, J-A-S-S-A-N, the justice minister who resigned after wiretaps revealed he'd had 102 phone conversations with Yebrón. In spite of the scandals he's been linked to in his own country, Al-Qassar wants to invest in a tourist company in Argentina like the one owned by Yebrón. Al-Qassar has a son, Rami, R-A-M-I, who was born in Argentina in 1992. Al-Qassar himself was born in Yabrud, Syria, the same birthplace as the Menem, Yoma, and Yebrón families of Argentina. Carlos Menem, of course, the president of Argentina, Amira Yoma, his former sister-in-law, and Carlos Yebrón, the fellow Alfredo Yebrón, the fellow that you heard the allusion to earlier, and that we will be talking more about in just a few minutes. As I mentioned, Manzor El-Kassar's name has come up in connection with a couple of key bombings in Argentina in recent years. The bombing of the Israeli embassy in 1992, you heard an allusion to that in the first of the Clarín articles that I read in this segment, and also an AMIA, the bombing of the AMIA Cultural Center in July of 1994. More about those allegations and research and translation credit on the following goes to Dave White, who got this from Clarín's issue of August 2nd of 1998. This is an article entitled, Government Worried About Visit of Al-Kassar. The article reads in part, lawyers for Manzor El-Kassar have confirmed a statement from the Argentinian embassy in Damascus that their client will come to Argentina on Friday, August 7th. Al-Kassar's visit has three objectives: to end the lawsuit in which he is charged by Judge Jorge Ballesteros with fraudulently obtaining an Argentinian passport in 1992, to deny a witness's declaration that he'd visited Buenos Aires on or about July 18, 1994, the day of the AMIA bombing, and to clear up suspicions that he'd supplied the 200 kilos of exogene used to blow up the Israeli embassy on March 17, 1992. The exogene, according to an incomplete investigation by Swiss prosecutor Laurent Caspar Ansermont, arrived from Syria shortly before the attack on the embassy and was purchased by a company owned by El-Kassar. And continuing with the story, furthermore, Al-Kassar has admitted having ties to pro-Iranian groups like Hezbollah in Lebanon. Indeed, it was Manzor El-Kassar, according to John Loftus, the aforementioned co-author along with Mark Ahrens of the landmark book The Secret War Against the Jews, that Manzor El-Kassar was not only the key man for the Contra support team in getting East Bloc arms for the Contras, but was also the key player in securing American arms for the Iranians in the Iranian leg, so to speak, of the Iran-Contra affair. And again, this individual, credited by the DEA with bringing 20% of the heroin into the United States each year, was on the White House payroll. Continuing, on the White House payroll under the Reagan and Bush administrations, I should say. Continuing, government officials fear that while Al-Kassar is improving his image, he will be damaging the image of the president. Actually, I should say he was actually on the White House payroll under the Reagan administrations. George Bush, however, did continue to protect him. He probably wasn't literally on the White House payroll at that point, but he was a key player in the Iran-Contra affair, the key player, according to Loftus and Ahrens. Continuing. Furthermore, Al-Kassar has admitted having ties to pro-Iranian groups like Hezbollah in Lebanon. Government officials fear that while Al-Kassar is improving his image, he will be damaging the image of the president. In addition, Al-Kassar's presence could again push forward the Syrian trail to the two biggest terrorist attacks in Argentine history. The Syrian trail is the theory of Judge Juan José Galeano. It supposes the existence of support by Syrian sectors, along with pro-Iranian groups, in setting up the attacks. The key to explaining part of the origin of the attacks is understanding the complete scheme of powerful persons, the complex scheme of powerful persons close to President Menem. Al-Kassar was born in Yabrud, Syria, that's Y-A-B-R-U-D, a few meters from the home of the family of Menem's ex-wife, Zulima Yoma. Al-Kassar's friend Ibrahim al-Ibrahim, a Syrian intelligence agent, moved to Argentina in 1987. He married Zulima's sister, Amira, and was assigned to a key customs post at Aziza Airport. Franco Cavilla, whom Al-Kassar is suing, maintains that al-Ibrahim was on duty when the exogene shipment arrived. At that time, the airport warehouses were controlled by Alfredo Yabron, who was also from Yabrud, Syria. Yabron had planned to flee to Damascus before his suicide on May 20th. And so again, there is an allegation here, a hotly disputed and apparently the subject of litigation by Manzor El-Kassar, that Manzor El-Kassar brought the exogene that was used to blow up the Israeli embassy in March of 1992. There's also an allegation that Manzor El-Kassar had visited Buenos Aires on or about July 18th, 1994, the site of the day of the AMIA bombing. And note that the airport warehouses where Al-Qassar allegedly brought the Exogene into were controlled by the aforementioned Alfredo Yebron, an individual connected to a former justice minister, as well as an individual closely connected to Manzar Al-Qassar. Alfredo Yebron, also an individual who had, before his, quote, suicide, unquote, more connections than a switchboard, and we're going to take a look at this particular tangled web in just a couple of minutes. More about that particular tangled web, I should say, in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to review an article that we touched on in a couple of half-hour segments, updating numerous terror connections that have been discussed on this program over the years. This comes from the Jewish Telegraphic Agency, and this is on the website of the Jewish Bulletin of Northern California. Again, this is a Jewish Telegraphic Agency story, Dateline Buenos Aires, headlined, Syrian Linked to Bombings. It's dated June 21st of 1996. The article reads in part, a Swiss court investigating an illegal sale of explosives may have found an important clue in two unresolved bombings in Argentina. The Swiss are probing a shipment of several tons of the high-explosive Exogen, according to Spanish journalist Norberto Bermudez. The firm Expel manufactures the explosive in Spain. Most of the shipment in question was sent to Croatia, but a fraction was rerouted to Argentina shortly before the March 17, 1992 bombing of the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires. Exogen may have been used in that attack, which left 29 dead and some 100 wounded. Bermudez, who came to Buenos Aires to deliver a copy of the Swiss findings to the Argentine court investigating the case, said that, quote, the Exogen passed customs at the city's Ezeiza airport. Also, Exogen may have been used in the July 18, 1994 bombing of the AMIA Jewish Community Center that left 86 dead and at least 300 wounded. Swiss investigators said the explosives were sold by Syrian arms dealer Manzar Al-Qassar. So the allegation has been lodged by Swiss investigators that the explosives used in the AMIA bombing also came from Manzar Al-Qassar, who allegedly brought in the explosives for the bombing of the Israeli embassy in March of 1992. The AMIA bombing is an incident that I discussed at the time. I would note that a couple of German nationals were briefly detained and then released. There are very strong connections by what I have termed the Underground Reich, the residua of the Third Reich, which have continued to function intact to a large extent in the post-World War II period, as discussed in, among other books, The Beast Reawakens, a vitally important recent work by Martin A. Lee. There are strong connections between fascist terrorists around the world and what I have termed the Underground Reich, and some of the more extreme groups in the Middle East as well. Those associations going back to the World War II period, when individuals such as Haj Amin al-Husseini, the self-proclaimed Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, and the first leader of the Palestinian National Movement, also a major in the SS, was a key player on behalf of Third Reich espionage. He also recruited Muslims to the Nazi cause, including a couple of Bosnian Muslim Waffen SS division, the Hanjar division, that numbered among its ranks Alija Izbegović, the first president of Bosnia, and the president of Bosnia when U.S. troops were sent in to support his regime. The AMIA bombing of a Jewish cultural center, which had also been a repository for documentation concerning Nazi war criminals who had fled to Argentina, was the target, again, of a huge bombing in July of 1994, specifically on July 18th of 1994. And in addition to the allegations concerning a possible Manzar Al-Qassar connection to that case, there is an evidentiary tributary, I should say, running in the direction of an Argentinian intelligence official who not only gave testimony about the AMIA bombing, but who also apparently had functioned along with Manzar Al-Qassar and company in some of the aspects of the Contra support effort. Research and translation credit on the following also goes to Dave White. The following comes from Clarín, once again, the Argentinian paper, and this comes from Clarín's issue of August 9th of 1998. This is headlined, Former Spy Released from Jail After 34 Days. And this concerns a former Argentine intelligence agent named Leonardo Sanchez Reisa, R-E-I-S-S-E. Leonardo Sanchez Reyesa, a former intelligence agent arrested July 1st in connection with a 1987 Buenos Aires art gallery heist, has been freed by Judge Alejandro Rodenas because of insufficient evidence. Sanchez Reyesa testified to Judge Juan Jose Galeano about the relationship of the Iranian company South Beef with the financing of the AMIA bombing. A few days later, he was arrested in Rosario. In addition, Sanchez Reyesa stated that he had collaborated with the CIA and the DEA. So again, one of the individuals who had testified before Judge Galeano about the AMIA bombing and who claims associations with CIA and DEA was a former Argentinian intelligence agent named Leonardo Sanchez Reyesa, and I'm not sure about the pronunciation on that. And Reyesa was also one of the many people who figured in the Argentinian element that helped to train the Contra guerrillas who were fighting against the Sandinistas. Of course, the clandestine American support for the Contras ultimately blossomed into the Contra element of the Iran-Contra scandal. Research credit on the following also goes to Dave White. This comes from the book Cocaine Politics, subtitled Drugs, Armies, and the CIA in Central America, co-authored by two individuals whose work has figured on this program for the better part of two decades, Peter Dale Scott, the brilliant Berkeley professor, and Jonathan Marshall, a longtime researcher into some of the machinations of the intelligence community and international fascism. Last I heard, he was working for the San Francisco Chronicle. Marshall and Scott's Cocaine Politics was published by the University of California Press and was copyright. Actually, this is from the updated edition in 1998. Of Sanchez Reyesa and his work in training the Contras, Scott and Marshall write, "Still other Argentine personnel, according to one of their number who defected, went to Miami, quote, where other companions of theirs were trained in the same way in paramilitary anti-Castro Cuban North American camps," unquote. At least two Argentine military intelligence officials were assigned to Miami. Leandro Sanchez Reyesa, a leading member of the Argentine intelligence unit known as Battalion 601, was put in charge of financing and currency exchange, quote, buying special equipment that couldn't be acquired through normal channels, unquote, and making contact with, quote, anti-Sandinista groups in Florida, unquote, in particular Alpha 66 and Omega 7. The far-right Alpha 66, which ran two Florida guerrilla training camps, was regularly represented at conferences of the Latin American Anti-Communist Confederation. Sanchez Reyesa may thus have played a role in recruiting, among others, two key anti-Castro Cubans into the Argentine training apparatus: Jose Dionisio Suarez, the fugitive accused killer of Orlando Letelier, who reportedly became a hitman for the Colombian cocaine mafia, and Felix Rodriguez, a former CIA security advisor to Bolivia and Argentina's First Army, Suarez Masson's unit, and confidant of George Bush's former national security aide, Donald Gregg. Note, by the way, Carlos Suarez Masson was a member of the Argentinian junta that prosecuted the Dirty War in the 1970s. He also was a member of the Argentinian branch of the infamous P2 Lodge, headed up by former Waffen-SS officer and Italian fascist Licio Gelli, who, as I speak, in mid-September of 1998, has just been rearrested, one of a number of rearrests for Licio Gelli. So note here that Leandro or Leonardo, depending on how you choose to spell it, Sanchez Reyesa, a key Argentinian intelligence unit agent and a veteran of Battalion 601, had not only given testimony concerning the AMIA bombing in connection with which Manzer El Kassar's name has surfaced a couple of different times, he also, according to the information set forth here by Marshall and Scott, may very well have been instrumental in recruiting two other figures to the Contra support effort. One of them, Jose Dionisio Suarez, one of the people involved in the Orlando Letelier killing, and also Felix Rodriguez, a longtime CIA operative and anti-Castro Cuban, and one of the players in the Iran-Contra affair and a former confidant of George Bush's former national security aide, Donald Gregg. More about Sanchez Reyesa. Sanchez Reyesa also audited the finances of the Argentine Special Tasks Group in Honduras. His contact there was reportedly Oliver North's representative, Robert Owen. Sanchez Reyesa denied accusations by the Argentine press and government that he financed some of his activities with the help of other Battalion 601 officers through the kidnapping and ransom of wealthy Latin businessmen. So again, among the many connections that crop up in connection with the AMIA bombing are Leonardo Sanchez Reyesa, a veteran Argentinian intelligence agent and one of many players in the very tangled and sordid Iran-Contra affair, something that Manzar Al-Kassar was centrally involved with as well. I'm going to review another connection or another evidentiary tributary that applies to the AMIA bombing. This is something that I discussed in an update on the Oklahoma City bombing done in very early 1998. Research and translation credit on the following also goes to Dave White. The following comes from La Nación of Sunday, July 27th of 1997. That is an Argentinian paper as well. And this is headlined, AMIA Bomb Plotters Connection. Now, bear in mind not only the Sanchez Reyesa testimony in connection with AMIA, but also the alleged connections of Manzar Al-Kassar to that very same incident. While investigating the Oklahoma City bombing, the FBI discovered that the Argentinian branch of Tom Metzger's White Aryan Resistance was located in the home of someone connected to the AMIA plotters. Timothy McVeigh, condemned to death for the attack on the federal building in Oklahoma City, belonged to the White Aryan Resistance. The FBI identified a group of eight men connected to the AMIA bombing. Three of the men used cellular telephones. An FBI undercover agent infiltrated the group nicknamed Los Cochitas, which formed part of a larger organization called POC, La División Protección al Orden Constitucional. So the allegation here, or the findings, I should say, by the FBI, who had assisted the Argentines in investigating the AMIA bombing, was that the Argentinian security officers, the Argentinian policemen, who were identified in the investigation as the operational element in the AMIA bombing, were members of the White Aryan Resistance of Tom Metzger, an organization to which Timothy McVeigh allegedly belonged, and to which Dennis Mahone, also belonged as well, one of the many names that has cropped up in connection with Oklahoma City. Former ATF informant Carol Howe alleged that Mahone had been involved with the Oklahoma City bombing, and certainly Mahone's name has cropped up in connection with Oklahoma City numerous times. Now, bear in mind that not only Manzar Al-Kassar's many connections to the Argentinian corridors of power, bear in mind also the allegations of Manzar's involvement in the bombings in Argentina of the Israeli embassy in 1992 and the AMIA bombing. Neither of them, as far as I know, substantiated. Both, I would be willing to bet, would be exceedingly difficult and probably lethal for the authorities to investigate past a point. And also, bear in mind another of the many players in Iran-Contra, Leonardo Sanchez Reyesa, and his not only his involvement in Iran-Contra, but he also apparently was knowledgeable about the AMIA bombing as well. And also bear in mind that the FBI, which had been investigating the AMIA bombing, identified a connection between that milieu and a milieu allegedly involved with Timothy McVeigh as well. We're going to come back to some evidentiary tributaries connecting some of these events and institutions, and we're also going to examine a number of different maneuverings on the stage that we're looking at, and we're going to ask the question, what relationship might exist between those? That concludes this half-hour segment. My name's Dave Emery. Thanks for listening.